March 25, 2020, it's the Walk for Pedro show.
Thank you.
Walk for Pedro show. Happy Wednesday. Yeah, two days later, I'm doing another one. Doing a lot. I think another one Saturday or Friday. This would have been day six of the tour, and with Mike Baghetta, Steve Hodges, but postponed. Of course, Brother Matt, he's in the other part of Pedro. I'm north of him by about, 23 blocks? No, 33 blocks, damn. But I'm not man alone, because through those wonderful software engineers in Estonia with their Skype stuff, I got Lisa Said from Lisbon, Portugal. Welcome aboard, Lisa.
Thanks for having me, Mike. Okay.
We started to show off with John Coltrane doing Chim Chim Cheree, and then Bandwagon Jumping Machine by Pyramid Scheme, which is your band, right?
In this new Correct.
Record. Yeah, it's a great record. But I want to go way back with you in your music journey. Lise, what's your earliest musical recollection?
Well, let me think. I think the time I remember most vividly is when I was about five and my parents were throwing a Christmas party and we kids had to stay in the back room. But for some reason I escaped and I came out and I heard there's a lot of like disco and dancing. I vaguely remember, you know, like Le Freak from Chic and, you know, just other soul hits from the era, early 80s, to share my age. But yeah, that was about it. I would say.
Bass man, Chic, Bernie. Bernie
yeah,
something. He died of a flu in Tokyo or something. Kind of young, in his 30s or something. 40s or something, but he's a great bass man. In the pad where you grew up, were your parents, did they do music, or were they just listeners?
Yeah, they were just listeners.
But did you get into their collection? They have records, cassettes, 8-track, whatever.
Yeah, so good question. I remember the 8-track. My dad, I guess we got like Cadillacs and stuff in the early days.
Uh-huh.
My parents are from Egypt. I don't know if you know that. And so they came in the 70s to the U.S., moved to Tennessee, and kind of got into soul and folk music. And my dad told me he got a bunch of records from Kmart, and they had this thing. He would just, like, listen to it, and if he didn't like it, he would return it.
my mom used to do that with dresses. There was this store, Rick's Racks, and they must have caught on. She'd get it on a Friday, wear it, and then return it on Monday. Well, we grew up in the 1000s, so we were in Kano and stuff. But okay, so was there any instruments in that where you grew up, inside the house?
Yeah, I think we had a piano, I remember. I didn't take lessons, but my sisters did. But, yeah, we had a piano that I used to bang on.
Okay, so maybe that's the first instrument you tried?
Yeah, I didn't really know any songs except for Heart and Soul.
You didn't have the hell of the piano teacher from hell story.
That's true.
Because I've had a lot of people on the show. Some people had great, I think it depends a lot on the teacher more than the actual instrument. What about school? Were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
I think I might have done handbells for a spell, but I was pretty bad. Like, I didn't read music as well as I should have. And so I would just kind of, like, improvise, and I think I had a bass note. So I could just sneak it in, you know, mess up a little bit more gracefully than if I had a higher pitch. But, yeah, that was about it.
Okay. Well, I want to ask you, the first record you bought for yourself.
Oh, I think I went in with my sister, and we got an LP version of Footloose.
Oh, Patrick Swayze?
Kevin Bacon.
Kevin Bacon, that's it. I can't remember those guys. They're all good-looking guys from that era.
and good dancing. Like, I think the whole movie's about dancing, right?
Yeah, so they had those, like, kind of, the soundtrack was definitely, I feel like they had the anthemic songs, if I remember correctly.
Anthemic. So, older sister?
I have two older sisters, one older brother. I'm the youngest.
Yeah, so what I found is people that were younger in their family, they kind of inherit kind of sounds from the brothers and sisters, from their records.
Definitely. Okay. I definitely used all of, you know, everybody's collection.
Yeah. What about the first gig that you went to? What was that?
Well, I'm going to be honest. I didn't go see a lot of live music up until I went to college, but I do remember my mom taking us to see Donnie and Marie Osmond. I think I was about seven.
Okay.
And that was kind of, you know, my first live show at a big arena. So it was kind of bizarre. Everybody screaming for Donnie.
Yeah, because he had a band with his brothers. It was kind of like a Jackson 5, yeah. And then he went on his own and then I guess went with his sister, yeah.
Yeah, I think I saw the sister era of the shows.
I think she does commercials now for losing weight.
Oh, yeah.
I think, if I remember, I don't watch much of the stuff with commercials. I just don't have patience. I want to play here Next Hero.
The day my head caught fire, I felt like I was falling away from everything and everybody that I've ever loved. Oh, the day my head caught fire, I felt like I was falling away from everything and everybody I've ever loved.
Stay inside for Halloween. Candy fiend on the trampoline. Christmas lights and kerosene. Cherry blossom so mean. Easter inside the submarine. Rice and beans, rice and beans. From the delivery machine.
Let's hang out from 6 feet away. I wanna see you from 6 feet away. I wanna love you from 6 feet away. I wanna sex you from 6 feet away. Let's have fun from 6 feet away. Say something nasty from 6 feet away. Gonna make you come from 6 feet away. Can you make me come from 6 feet away? Can't get fucked up from 6 feet away. Can't get knocked up from 6 feet away. You can't get sick from 6 feet away. You can look at my dick from 6 feet away. Someday soon we'll be 5 feet away. One of these days we'll be 3 feet away. Sometime soon we'll be 1 foot then I'll be in you.
I'm home, lost my job, and incurable. You think this is easy? Realism. I've got a girl out there, I suppose. I think she stands there.
Sure hope I don't end up on the street.
Where the heart is.
Home is so suspicious. Home is close control. Home is will you miss us. Home is I don't know.
Home is where the heart is. At least that's what they say.
Home is aggravation.
Just trying to have a little fun, folks. That's all.
distance riding out, postulated and gone. Ransacked, you know, shackled so slow, murder runs his mouth as testimonies go. Jack's in the know.
for Peter show?
Yeah, Next Hero, Pyramid Scheme. And people, that's not spelled with a Y. It's got an I. So your Google searches will be right on the mark with at least here. Raylan Nelson Band, which is they're Tennessee. It's Woody Willie Nelson's granddaughter, Raylan, and The Day My Head Caught Fire. M.B. Jones out of Pusan with Living in Quarantine. Jacob Karchik, 6 feet away. A DJ Virus, Home, Guided by Voices. Obviously, there was a theme going there. A Guided by Voices with Jack Tell. Zemi Say, 21 Vec. Macedonia, of course, Guided by Voices. Dayton, Mr. Pollard, working on his 110th record or something. This guy, you know, he played a gig here on New Year's Eve. 100 songs. It was like 5 hours long. I wish I could have, my knees, I couldn't handle it. But, yeah, maybe they had an elderly person area with seats. I could have. Ellipse after that was Signal Aerovisia. This is the former Yugoslavia. A bilge pump. In the 60s, too, their idea of surf. Bilge Pump out of England, Leeds, Fuck Over. Lucy Lee from England with Cruel. Schizofuel out of Amarillo with 804. And finally, Regular Guy, Pyramid Scheme. It's okay, scheme is spelled the way most people do it. So. It's just the pyramid is I instead of a Y, and which I like. Okay, back to the story of... the journey through music, Lisa Said. What about the stuff? I'm going to junior high and high school. Where after school you do a bedroom band or a garage band, basement band. Did you do that stuff?
No, I was kind of like, what do you call it? I kind of just did stuff on my own. I just kind of went outside. No, I didn't learn any instruments. I tried to teach myself harmonica, and then I didn't really learn anything until I was in my 20s, to be honest.
Okay. No, Joe Baiza in Sacred Trust, he started guitar at 27. There was a lot of people in the old days of the movement, you know, in the 70s, they never did music, and because the scene was so open, anybody could do it, you know. So you had people trying it out for he was an artist, you know, he drew and stuff. But hey, why don't I try guitar? So I think when Orson Welles' last piece of work, he said, "No wine before it's time." So I don't think there's any a wrong age. Vincent, I think, only painted his last 10 years. He never painted as a kid. Yeah,
a Van Gogh. I know that.
Yeah. Well, Watt knows some things. Gets a lot of it wrong, but there's a museum there and named after him in Amsterdam, and I spent many time, I've done many visits there, and I really got into him. He's so econo, you know. I would like to do that with music, where you only need two strokes for the eye, you know, not all labored and stuff. Just it's so econo. It's like good bass lines, you know.
Yeah.
So okay, so college was kind of a turning point then, right? With music.
Yeah, it was because I started to meet musicians. I didn't really know musicians in high school, but I would say sheltered in Tennessee. And so, yeah, college I met musicians. We would kind of trade collections or, you know, recommend things. I found my tribe, I guess. And then, it was after college that I convinced some people to help me play, learn how to play bass. I think I was about 26 or 27.
Joe Biza's age. And what, did you pick bass?
I picked bass because I wanted to be in a band with a friend, and I didn't want to just be the singer. So I needed to learn an instrument before I'd feel comfortable playing in a band.
Well, I'm kind of biased towards bass, so I'm curious to why you picked. I'm glad you made the choice, but do you know why?
Oh, yeah, I'm a rhythm player.
Oh, okay.
I'm definitely a rhythm player, and I wanted to be a drummer. That was my first hope. Drums, I can't really, I can't be my own metronome, so I have to rely on a really good drummer and then feel free to play. But, yeah, that's kind of how it started.
Okay. Since let's talk bass. What was your first bass?
Nothing fancy.
That's okay.
I also have to say I'm a lefty. And I didn't have much money at the time, so, finding a lefty bass is kind of hard, especially on a budget. So I got something called a Johnson, which was somewhat ironic. So my first bass was a Johnson, but I've since graduated. I have a Fender Jazz made in Japan. Make it lighter. It's from the 90, but it's a 62 reissue, maybe.
Which is the first ones.
The Jazz came out, the first, the P bass is 51. It's like 10 years later when Leo comes up with the Jazz. What was your first bass amp?
My first bass amp was, I forgot, I think it's the whatever John Entwistle played. It was the Ashdown. Is it?
Oh yeah.
Electric. Yeah.
Ashdown. They were the people that came from a company called Trace Elliott, and over in England. And I seen him play solo once, and he had a lot of amps. Like half the stage was his amps. So you probably used. They got all kinds of different models. And I've used them on tour. In fact, I got one in with the Italian guys in Bologna, so I don't have to, rent. I got a little, I think it's called the Rumble or something, Rode something. But, these Class D amps now weighs like 5 pounds and is 800 watts. They didn't have that in the old days. Oh, yeah, things are so much lighter now. I use these boxes called Bareface. They're from Brighton in England. 1,200-watt box that weighs 40 pounds.
Oh, my goodness.
I know.
Wow. Yeah.
That's
that was
not
part of my limiting factor.
Yeah.
Weight.
Now, tell me about your first gig.
My first gig ever? It might have been with... So I had two bands when I was in Asheville. This is... when I started learning how to play, one was like a punk pop all girl group trio. And I think we are called Touchless Automatic. And I played guitar.
Oh, you played guitar?
So I play guitar now mostly because I just started, after I started learning bass, I learned guitar to write songs.
Sure.
And then eventually it was just easier to sing and play guitar and write songs. And then I could just, usually play with another elite guitar player and play rhythm.
When you were doing the bass, did you ever write on the bass?
Yeah, that was the thing. It was too hard for me to write on the bass.
Because, for me, about 95%, 90% of times I'll write on a guitar. But I like to write on the bass because it leaves... room for the guys you're playing with. Sometimes the guitar, the piano, they got a lot of harmonic content, much more than the bass. And so you're already, boxing them in. Whereas, I'm not speaking for everyone, this is a lot. If you do it on the bass, you become like the launch pad, the springboard, then they can take it somewhere. So, I didn't know that when I was younger. I just played with D. Boone, and so I never had to teach him anything. I'd just play, and he'd come up with a part, because we grew up together. So I was just curious about that. Okay, so we're talking about your first gig. Your first gig you actually did on guitar.
Yeah, Touchless Automatic. I was playing at the same time I was playing with my other band, Teleprompters. That's where I played bass, and I would switch out the instrument. Sometimes playing guitar, but mostly played guitar, played covers. The funniest thing about this first gig with Touchless Automatic was the crowd went wild. I will say that we are naturally good at our instruments, but we'd only been playing together for like a month. It was, we had a really visceral response, but I remember afterwards somebody told me, oh, it was really great. It was like the Shags. Is that band from the...
they were this, I think, sisters that the father put the band together, like in rural Vermont or New Hampshire. And he really thought they were going to be as big as the Beatles or something. And they made this record called Philosophy of the World, I think in the early 70s. And when you hear it, it's like maybe they don't know how to play, you know. So that's a weird kind of compliment.
Yeah, it was kind of throwing shade in a jerky way. But you know what? People
although
liked
there's something really wonderful about the Shags, but man, it's pretty intense. Have you heard them since?
I did, and you know, I will say that even though we were new, we were still on point rhythmically, much more than the Shags were.
I think there's one left. One sister is left, and she made her name's Dot or something, and she made a solo record, and kind of like half Japanese, if you know the Fair Brothers, Jad and David. That's what I always think of when I hear that kind of stuff. So were you scared? Because I get scared at gigs, so I'm wondering, were you scared?
I don't know. You know, I always think I always thought I would have more stage fright than I did. But yeah, it was a bit scary leading up to it. Because, you know, I don't know, like, and I still have a hard time with, like, the stage, you know, like, setting up your gear, setting up everything. But yeah, I was a bit scared.
Okay.
But I kind of got to the point where I didn't give a crap about anything.
That's good. that's what at the end of the day you got to do, or you knuckle under. What about the first teleprompter gig?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I do remember I played with my bandmate. We played a Velvet Underground cover show, and we played two songs. We played Rock and Roll and Waiting for the Man, and that was fun.
And then you can stretch them out.
Yeah, totally. And then I remember I played a kazoo for I played on bass.
Okay.
I do remember that, and I played a kazoo for the viola part, John Kill's viola part in Rock and Roll.
Oh, wow.
And people afterwards were like, what was that?
You know, and he also played bass in Velvet Underground.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. He played organ. Of course, he's known for the viola because he was doing avant-garde before he met Lou Reed. But then his rock and roll, I think he could play everything. He's pretty amazing. Minutemen got to play with him once. I've always been a big fan of him, and that's interesting. So the gig was all the bands doing Velvet Underground.
Yeah, it was a tribute.
Yeah, tribute. Wow. Well, if you're going to make a tribute to somebody, that's a good band. Bob Quine, the Voidoids guitar player, made, I think, a cassette recording of every Cleveland gig. They did Cleveland the most, 23 Cleveland gigs, I think. We're at the end of the first hour, March 25, 2020. Special guest, Lisa Saeed. Hold tight for hour two. March 25, 2020. It's the second hour of the Watt for Pedro show. Watch from Peter Show starts second hour with No More Anymore, Pyramid Scheme. And Mike Rugnetta with his March. He's trying to do like a 20-minute song every month of 2020. River Things. Then from the 80s, Power Trio from Osaka. All ladies. OXZ. Speaking of the ox. Oxes? I don't know. Boy Boy is the tune. And Fantasy Spires from the City, San Francisco. The Curse of the Wandering Eye, which is live over KXSF. Great station. Pyramid Scheme, finally, with Pay to Play. So, did either of those bands you were in early record?
Yeah, so, Touchless Automatic was just, we played covers. We recontextualized kind of like more dude songs, I would say. but Teleprompters, yeah, we did record. We recorded more than we played out. And let's see.
Was that your first experience at recording?
Yeah, I had a friend who was in the band, and he was really great sound engineer. So we made like a studio, and it's kind of a horrific situation that I lived in a warehouse back in Asheville. It was like one of those warehouses that artists lived in, not supposed to live there.
Oh, you mean like ghost, up in Oaktown with the ghost ship, right? All those people burned up.
Exactly. Yeah, that was super sad, but that was the situation I was in maybe 10 years before that happened. And but it enabled us to, you know, practice whenever we wanted, and we had a drum kit there, and we just made a lot of noise for over a year and then recorded there too.
How was recording for you? We got something we call red light fever. Like, you're playing fine, and as soon as you know it's being recorded, you start clamming like a motherfucker.
Actually, that was the luxury of our situation, since we weren't paying anybody, and we had all the time in the world. We could just do it and do it. So it took us a long time. We never released it. It was kind of like right before MySpace came about. So it was just one of those things that, I mean, I didn't mind doing, I was learning in the process and able to just kind of like re-record. I didn't get nervous until I started working at Inner Ear, kind of like more of a professional setting for me.
Okay. Yeah. So you feel more pressure. So both these bands, you joined them, they weren't really your bands, right?
Yeah, they were. I was new at it. Yeah. We were all kind of new at it.
Oh, so kind of equal? I mean, you weren't the band leader, I'm trying to... Or were you? I don't know.
I was a co-leader of one of them. And then, yeah, so those are my two early bands. But then when I moved to D.C., I played with a band called Sister X. I played bass, didn't sing. And those were with veteran musicians. So I just, you know, hung back and learned a lot.
Ah, almost like a side lady or side person.
Yeah, I could just focus on being the rhythm section.
Sure. And you had a good drummer?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing like playing bass with a good drummer, man. I play with Perk, George Hurley or something. I mean, there's just something about it. A drummer who's struggling, you struggle kind of on the bass. They just help you out a good bit. I think the closest note on stage to us is the kick drum. We share so much with them. It looks like a guitar, but it's kind of like a drum. I want to see, I want to play Seen This Before, okay?
Okay.
We'll be right back. understand the throbbing in the heart of the place, the lights, the music, the girls, the big-time appeal. Well, the thrill is fine. It's just not my thing. Seems a little degrading, paying for some favors. How humiliating to be put in your place. I respect the dancers. They make a living. I'll just take a rain check on that sexual thing. Get out on my own terms if I need it, but I don't think so. I'm doing fine. Save the breasts for someone else.
Gumby! He was once a little green slab of clay. Gumby! You should see what Gumby can do today. Gumby! He can walk into any book with his pony pal Soaky too. If you've got a heart, then Gumby is a part of you. Gumby! Gumby, la 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 la. Gumby, he can walk into any book with a story that's funky too. If you got a heart, then Gumby's a part. If you got a heart, then Gumby's a part. If you got a heart, then Gumby's a part of you.
Pedro show, we've seen this before, like Pyramid Scheme. And then Trotsky Ice Pit from SoCal here with Love Song with Migraine. Stoma out of Rotterdam. Caught Up Pavonis. Joe Brewer out of Madison. Exotic Toxic.
Charlie Hancock, I think he was from The Hill. He was in a pre-tragic comedy at Kinkles, I think they were called. Gumby, it's the theme. And then finally, Mean Street from Pyramid Scheme. So it was good education playing bass with his DC band. Is this where you get the idea of your own trip?
Yeah. Like Pyramid Scheme?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, well, I've gone through a lot of evolutions of, you know, confidence, lack of confidence,
of course,
back
yeah.
to confidence. And so I think I wasn't really ready to lead a band until maybe last year. But there was two iterations of Pyramid Scheme that you played. I should have let you know, but the first one was, you know, the first one you played with Bandwagon, Jumpin' Machine, and Regular Guy, and Next Hero was kind of like the first version. It was just me as the continual member from one version to the other. So, yeah, I mean, the first version, it just kind of happened, and I was playing with this drummer, Andrew Toy, who is great, and continued to play with him, met Darian Day, and started the Pyramid Scheme with him, and Howard Raybuck joined for on bass. And so after that was over, because, you know, everybody wants to do different projects after a few months,
yeah.
which is cool. And so that kind of went on hiatus, and then we started in a different version about 6 months later after I felt like, you know what, I need to play again and I need to play with a band. And it was a different process, and it was just really cool to experience it very differently. The creative process was really different in each formation, but really special for both.
And can I ask you why you didn't call the new project, the new iteration, a different name?
Yeah, well, I struggled with that for a long time, deciding, because I wanted to give it its own name, but also I think because the first run, we didn't, you know, we played together for about a year, so it didn't necessarily, I would say that I invested a lot in doing the web stuff, because I do, okay. To be honest, it's, you know, web, and it's work for me to be able to establish a presence. And I was feeling like, you know what, I don't want to really start from scratch. I want to just continue on with this name. And it's kind of like the ideas around music, not necessarily around me. It's not necessarily about my songs, but about, you know, just this, you know, people getting together.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, yeah, people getting together, play music. And, you know, each one had its unique feature, I think.
Well, I ask you, Lisa, because to me, in a way, a band name's really important. It's like naming a child. You know what I mean? Because it kind of takes, it makes an image. It gives the people something to focus on. Then if you just have a list of the band members, you know, Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. I guess that became it. But you know what I mean? There's something about a name of a band. It's almost like a perfect political state. You know, these guys come, or people come together, and they make decisions and things happen. And of course, there's a lot of dirt behind the Daydream, but, you know, in its most altruistic form, it's like you create an entity when you give a band name. So that's why I asked you that. So there's two versions of the band. Tell me about the first Pyramid Scheme gig.
The first Pyramid Scheme gig.
Yeah, the first
it was,
Pyramid Scheme.
Yeah, no, I was thinking you're the first. Yeah, I got it. So it was cool. We played at Comet Ping Pong in D.C., and I had a lot more energy then, so I was, like, more into the theatrics, kind of being more glam, more like literally trying to put on more makeup.
Glam, you know. First gig me and D Boom went to was T Rex. We liked
that. Oh, really?
Yeah, we were only 14 years old, you know, but we really liked it.
What album was that?
I don't know.
Recording?
It was Slider was just going to come out,
oh,
so we
wow.
was playing songs from that. a lot of Electric Warrior and Slider. So it was funny. They had a guy, Mickey Finn, playing the congas. You couldn't hear that guy at all. But Mark Bolt, and it was strange too in a way because they weren't short songs like the album. They'd start off that way, and then Mark Bolan would get on his knees and play lead guitar for 10 minutes. It was really trippy.
Oh, my goodness.
But he had the hair with the glitter in it and all corkscrews and big shoes. And I don't know. He's just something else.
I totally swoon for him. I mean, yeah. Was it Born to Boogie?
Yeah.
I remember the song.
He had a bunch of top tens in England. Not so big in the U.S. I met his son, Roland. His name was Roland Bolan.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, his pop died when he was only like a year. You know, when I first went to England, that's where I went to London. I asked somebody to take me to the tree where the car hit. And it had all these letters written on it. I think it's more formal now. But, so that's great you did glam, because there's a part of Watt that's glam. We're at the end of the second hour, March 25, 2020. Special guest, Lisa Saeed. Hold tight for hour three. March 25, 2020 is the third hour. Watt from Pedro.
Feel like the UNC now. Feel Thank you.
Pedro Show, start the third hour with Pyramid Scheme doing Modern World. Then from Ireland, Origins, number four. That's the other side of the cassette that Bushy sent me. Follow him after that with his brand new record, a tune from Where We Come From. Tragicomedy, wow, we were just talking about Drastic Change. Me and D Boom put out their first eight song, 12 inch. And then finally, Dark Lights, Pyramid Scheme. Okay, tell me about this album that just came out in January.
Yeah, so just came out in January. It's 6 songs. We started early 2019 recording, and actually that's when we started. We got together, the four of us, the drummer and the guitar player. I can say names.
Yeah, you can.
yeah, okay, I'd be happy to. Abner Jara on drums, and he had just moved from Chile, and was the cool thing was is he was learning English, and he was recommended by Andrew Toy, who was in the first version. And so I knew about Abner, and then I was like, but who am I going to get to play guitar? And then I remembered Richard Benjumea, who I found out was from, his family's from Colombia, and he's a native speaker of Spanish. And so they got along great. We played the first time, and it really just gelled. And so then later, after we started playing a few songs, I brought in Sarah Brooke Pergel. I knew her from the record, from a guitar store that I went to. And I asked her if she played bass because I saw all these posts. I knew she played guitar. And she was like, yeah. And she had a cool bass ready to go. And she was working on her own project and joined us. And it worked really well. So we put together new songs really quickly and then recorded them. And it took a bit to, like, finish it and polish it. But, yeah, we released it this year. And really just psyched that we got that out.
Can I ask you how long it took to record?
Yes. So I worked a little differently this time. I was used to, so I basically produce, project manage most of my recordings, whether it's my solo stuff or with the band. Usually I would record drums over the course of 1 or 2 days at inner ear. And so this time we did the drums and, you know, all the tracking, like the live tracking in one day at inner ear in March of last year. And then we kind of tackled the overdubs, which in this case, the only overdubs were mostly vocals and bass. And that's because the bass player, Sarah, and her partner produced the vocal tracking and the overdubs at their home studio.
Okay. Yeah, because drums, you need kind of a bigger room, and I do a lot of my stuff here in my pad, but I can't do drums, so. I can relate, and you're in Portugal now.
Yeah, I moved actually right after the release, and we had a record release show.
But the band members, are they still in D.C.?
They're still in D.C. I came here kind of like just going to take a hiatus, figure it out, work on some things. For better or for worse, kind of like here now because, you know, I can't really fly away and come back. So,
not with the situation.
Yeah. So, you know,
But that's something you didn't plan on. You know, it just happened to you, right? It happened to us.
Yeah, exactly. The crisis that nobody saw coming, although we could have seen it coming, but...
I know. I want to puke. But
yeah,
no,
I know.
But I don't really want to, but I want to play Beg or Borrow.
Thank you.
We're good to go. We'd like to serve.
I can see you from the back of my car. It's a scrub that you know will go far. We hit the dope right on a second engine. The waves are coming and we're gonna rip. We surf all day, then we lay on the beach. The sun is warm, it's out of our reach. Our skin is blistered, our bodies are warm. We surf some more while the waves hold their form. We know the private will buy us some booze. It's his choice, but we can't lose. Camp David, he's his home and his turf. He drives his kayak down the hill while we surf. We surf all day and we lay on the beach. The sun is warm, it's out of our reach. Our skin is blistered, our bodies are warm. We surf some more while the waves hold their form.
Bob from Pedro Show.
Last music for this edition, Beggar Borrow from Pyramid Scheme. Mega Doubt from Piece of Pizza. And this is another entity from DJ Virus coming out of Trieste. San Ardo with We Like to Surf, Loose Booty on Third Stone, edit 2 from the Groove Creator Method. That's Brother Phil. Big Bear. And finally, Fun Time Friend, Pyramid Scheme. So people, you hear, these here went to Lisbon, Portugal, and then the drama crisis came on, and so she stuck there, and the band's over in D.C., and so there's probably no plans to, well, nobody's touring. I had to cancel my tour, you know, not cancel, postpone. So I'm curious, because what me and the second man, Oregon Man, Pizzo's trying to do here, we got a studio, you know, we've been building over the last 10 years. We're going to try to hook it up for live streaming. Have you thought about doing gigs that way?
Yeah, well, actually, I was helping. I don't like to tell people this, but, you know, I'll just tell the, you know, podcast listeners and you, of course. I do some tech stuff, so yeah, I was helping people kind of like do the live streaming thing, and I'm going to get into it later. I'm just not ready yet. I don't know why. It feels so awkward for me to play solo again, but once I get comfortable, I will start by live streaming.
The situation there, you can't jam it, because Lisbon's got a lot of musicians. I've done some gigs there, and they've got quite an experimental scene. My buddy Alex from Dirty Beaches has got a lot of Lisbon friends, and, you know, avant-garde kind of things. I'm curious, but are you guys in a kind of lockdown?
Yeah, we're pretty much in a lockdown right now. I mean, we can go out for groceries and walking around and getting fresh air, but I've pretty much been in my own, the same neighborhood, just walking around my neighborhood.
Yeah, and you're not really jamming with other musicians.
You know, yeah, not yet.
But you're into tech, you know. This is what we got to do is get some kind of collaborative, cut down the latency problem so we can jam with each other over the internet.
Totally,
you know,
yeah.
What I mean? I don't want
to
give up on music.
How to
it's a different world, right? We got to adapt to it. I just don't want to give up music. Somehow we got to keep it going, you know? So, like, yeah, the radio show here and stuff, and you say you're going to get involved. That's a great thing to do, so we just don't roll over and lay down, you know? Somehow we still try to get music going. You made a great record here. I mean, it's too bad you can't play it for people. But I think the time will come.
Yeah.
We'll be able to do this again.
I mean, I hope so.
If we just not hang out together. Look, I learned this last tour because I was sick of getting torn. Now, this was 45 gigs in 45 days. I drove all 13,380 miles. I didn't get sick once. Also, never shook anybody's hand. I only gave him elbow or maybe a knuckle. And it works. I mean, this is before I knew any of this stuff, right? This is September, November. Actually, I've known it before, but I really was hardcore about it this tour. Some dudes got pissed off. But, man, don't want to get sick. I'm 62.
Yeah, anyway. No, it's, yeah, everybody should, what are they saying? Shelter in place?
Yeah, yeah. And it just makes sense. I go and take walk, but, man, like this morning, luckily I live by the water, right, in the harbor of Los Angeles, Pedro. And, you know, motherfuckers coming, walking right towards you. So I just cross the street. It's like they're not even, you know, I don't know what's in their mind. But, you know, I have the practical experience of 40 years of touring, and definitely people can get each other sick with these bugs. So I don't mean to be all preachy and shit. But what I was really trying to say is we'll get over to playing for people again somehow. Maybe it won't be live, though. Maybe it might have to be these internet gigs. The thing I hate about the YouTube.com is with the leashes, the sound is so terrible. But if you've got a good studio, you know, and we've worked hard with acoustics and equipment, all this, you know, and then you put up some cameras, and that's what we're going to try to do. And you being a solo artist, Maybe you just need your the camera on your crap top or something, and you could play for people, you know. And I saw Chris Brokaw do that last weekend from he was with Talia in Com, and he just did a play it. Some of the sound was kind of bad though. See, that's what's going to turn people off is bad sound.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I think you made a great album here, and that's forever. If you get to play it for people. And maybe there'll be another iteration. Maybe there'll be a Lisbon version of Pyramid Scheme. You might be staying there a little while. And
yeah.
You know what I mean? There could be a Lisbon version. I'm telling you, yeah, there's a lot of cats there that can fucking cook. They can play great. Even last summer when I was with Flipper, the sax man was from Lisbon. And we were playing in Paradiso in Amsterdam. And this dude can fucking blow, man.
That's great to know. Yeah, I'm looking forward to meeting everybody and playing again outside of my apartment.
Yeah. When it's healthy, when it's safe. You know. In the meantime, you can compose, right? That's what I'm doing now. And also collaborating by trading files and shit like that. So, you know, I'm really honored you are on the show, Lise. And you're part of the big music movement. And please, keep on keeping on.
Well, thank you so much, Mike. It was my honor pleasure, and people, thanks for having me.
Yeah, but we got to tell people where they can find you on the internet.
Yeah, so Pyramid Scheme. Autocorrect will fight you on this, but you just got to fight back. Instead of a Y, it's an I for Pyramid.
Yeah. Okay, so PIRAMIDSCHEME.com?
.com, yeah, exactly. Okay. Thanks.
Yeah. Keep on keeping on. Keep that keel in the water. Thanks so much. Okay,
thanks,
people.
Mike. Stay healthy.
I promise. I'll try. It's been a March 25, 2020. This is why people, Pedro Show people, keep your powder dry.